Devin Henry. Yesterday was the birthday for him, and a guy I posted on Twitter, but just want to reiterate, does a ton in front of the camera, brings a ton of energy. He brings that much energy and helpfulness on the other side of the camera, behind the scenes. A lot of people don't see all the things that he does, but he's added a ton to our content, to our culture. So happy birthday to him, and thank you to Kennedy and this Sports 360 AZ team. A lot to get to with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Moves are being made left and right. And this time last week, we were talking about, you know, trades probably will happen. We would anticipate Robbie Ray would get moved. Zach Greinke probably won't. Both of those predictions went down in the toilet real quick, right around 12:48, I guess, behind the scenes, but it didn't really break until about 1:10, 10 minutes after the unofficial, stop to the trade deadline. But the roster has changed so much in not that much time, and they continue to make moves in creative ways, like Mike Hazen likes to do. So we're going to get kick that off with our rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. So the Diamondbacks. They traded their ace last week. They traded their top prospect last week. Got in a haul of players, prospects, that has really helped reinvigorate the farm system. MLB Pipeline came out with their farm rankings, and I asked Mike Hazen last week about where he thinks the farm system is at, not really at a ranking standpoint, but he made it very clear he cares 0% about rankings. But this gives a good snapshot of where they were before Mike Hazen and this front office took over and where they are now. They were consistently 26 and below when they took over, and really the first couple of years while they're trying to build up the farm system a little bit, and had to use some prospects to make trades, to add veterans, JD Martinez, Gerard Dyson, John Jay, bringing in guys midseason just to help kind of bolster things a little bit. But while they've been able to move on from some of their bigger players and bigger contracts, they've also been able to re-energize that farm system. And MLB Pipeline yesterday had them ranked as the fifth best. To go from bottom five to top five in 2.5 years and still have a team that is in the hunt for the wild card. I don't think anyone is picking them to win the World Series, but a competitive baseball team, they didn't have to bottom out. Which I think is just pretty incredible. And now they have, $50 million to work with, $55 million over the next 3 years to work with to add pieces. And that's a piece I wrote in a column that Mike Hazen hasn't been able to do yet as the Diamondbacks general manager, because their hands have been kind of tied with that big Greinke contract. And he pitched like an ace. He pitched, I think, up to what that contract was giving him. He was very good, especially these last 2 years. But the issue was, they couldn't go out. They had, as Mike Hazen calls it, get creative. They would, get these under-the-radar guys, bring in a Merrill Kelly, bring in an Adam Jones who had no other offers, and kind of have to go through the bargain bin a little bit to add veterans. He did a good job doing that with closers, with catchers. Jeff Mathis turned out to be a very good option for them, as well as Chris Iannetta, and didn't have to spend a lot of money on those guys. Alex Avila, another one of those guys. But they haven't been able to have that flexibility to really go out and try to get somebody in free agency that would move the needle. And now they're going to be able to do that. So not only improving the farm system the way they did and be able to stay competitive, like that's a really tough tightrope to walk. And I think Mike Hazen has done a really good job doing that. I did a Diamonds in the Desert episode with Will Bohr of MLB Pipeline. It was prior to when the rankings came out, but it was right after the Greinke trade. He helped break down not only the four players they got back from the Astros, but as well as Zach Gallen, who is pitching tonight for the Diamondbacks, what to expect from him. Was it the right time to move on from Jazz Chisholm? We talk about all of those things. So that's on the Diamonds in the Desert podcast. We are also having a series of podcasts come out about the 7 day one draft picks that the Diamondbacks had 6 weeks ago. They had this just great group of picks that they were able to utilize. They made the picks. So I talked to, I think, six coaches and one media member who had covered the, you know, he covered, you know, in this case, Dominic Fletcher, the Arkansas outfielder who they took at the end of day one, but a lot of coaches who have coached these guys before, to give you a snapshot on what to expect from these players and where they need to improve. And because the real name of the game right now is if the Diamondbacks are going to be in the hunt for the NL West in, let's say, 2 years, it's because they hit on not one of these seven picks, but it's probably going to have to be two or three that are major league quality players. You know, and it's the more the merrier. You know, it's kind of one of those relationships where you hit on four or five, yes, the team is going to be in very good shape a couple of years from now. So wanted to give you kind of a snapshot on who those guys are, the competitors that they are. So was able to go through and talk to, at the college level, a lot of the pitching coaches, because they went heavy on college arms, but a lot of the high school coaches as well, to give you kind of some background on that. So those are going to be coming out in the next couple of days. It's a two-parter that will be coming out. But trying to give some insight on the driving forces between the improvement of that farm system. So despite the trade deadline happening, bringing in all these prospects, the Diamondbacks are continuing to make news. This morning, Mike Hazen on Doug and Wolf on Arizona Sports confirmed they are going to DFA, designate for assignment, Greg Holland, just a couple days ago. They did that with Zach Godley. So they are just kind of making moves as they see fit. You know, by DFAing these two players, they are removing them from the 40-man roster, essentially, have 7 days to trade him or put them on waivers. And if they clear the waivers, they can either be released or they can go down to the minors. So, interesting. This is what happened with Greg Holland last year. He signed with the Cardinals. He signed a big deal with the Cardinals. Came in pretty late, really struggled. They DFA'd him. Washington picked him up in a non-closer role. He ended up having a pretty darn good season. And for the most part, like up until, we'll say, a month ago, you know, I thought Greg Holland was the bullpen signing of the offseason for the Diamondbacks. He was a great addition, rock solid, and then something just happened. And it got to the point where twice in the span of a couple days, right before the trade deadline, and I think this probably killed his trade value a lot, Torey Lovello had to go out and remove him from the game and replace him with other pitchers in save situations. And if that's when that's your closer, that's not good. You know, that's some great baseball analysis, but you know, you can't have that happen, especially if you're trying to move him. Teams are going to be wary right off the bat. So Archie Bradley has improved immensely throughout the year, had a very rough first half, but is like 12 straight appearances without giving up a run. He is pitching very well. Yoan Lopez throughout the entire year, I think, has done a really nice job. They have some options, but it seems like Torey Lovello is fine doing kind of closer by committee right now, figuring out who, you know, could be the guy for the future. But for the time being, he feels like he has a couple of options that he can utilize. And then with Zach Godley, look, I mean, he was a big reason why they made a playoff push in 2017 and made it. Him and Robbie Ray were, I believe, like 1-2 in swings and misses on pitches outside of the strike zone. He was getting guys to chase a lot. And it seems like with both of them, that number has gone down significantly, and you've seen the numbers kind of correlate with that. With Robbie Ray that year, he was I think Cy Young black horse. You know, just the way he was pitching so well. He's still doing you know, pretty well in a rotation spot, but those numbers have gone down. His ERA has gone up. Usually, you know, the walks have gone up a little bit. So that's where you kind of see where he is, but still a very solid starter. But with Zach Godley, just never really quite got it going this year, in the rotation, in the bullpen. And it finally becomes kind of a numbers game. With these additions of Mike Leake, of Zach Gallen, the Diamondbacks have been able to create a little bit of depth, because before they were kind of holding it together with masking tape. you know, with this pitching staff because of the injuries and because of the struggles from guys like Godley. So they finally have a little bit of room to work with and kind of have the numbers game going, so they can kind of utilize. So that I think that was there just wasn't enough spots there for those two players. So they are continuing to move on, still 2.5 games out of the wild card in the middle of it. They won last night. Mike Leake made his debut. I think this is kind of like an average Mike Leake start. 5 1/3 to 6 innings, give up 2 to 3 runs. He gave up a lot of hits. He worked with a lot of guys on base, I think more than he usually does, but not many of them crossed the home plate. The defense wasn't the best behind him, but he was able to kind of work his way through it. And that's what you want out of a veteran arm. I think that's why they traded for him. He's a 10-year vet, which is crazy because I remember watching him at ASU tear it up. But he's been around for a decade in the major leagues, and that's why he can, you know, navigate with runners on. So that's something I think Diamondback fans can't expect. Zach Gallen going tonight, just 7 starts under his belt at the major league level. This will be number 8. Like 2.7 ERA, been rock solid for Miami. We'll see if that correlates and you know, see how he integrates in the team early on. But I know that they like the control that they have with him and his contract. Mike Leake going to be a multi-year starter in the rotation for them because he's through the end of next year. So that was, I think, another reason they moved on both these guys. It's not rentals by any means. They have guys that they can control for a little bit. So a lot going on with the Diamondbacks. The Arizona Cardinals are going to be kicking off their preseason tomorrow with game number 1 against the Rams here at State Farm Stadium. So that's going on as well. Coming up next, we're going to talk some recruiting stuff. Like I said, last week, very busy week on the recruiting front. Going to break down kind of both of those commitments and some other news, some other guys cutting lists and that sort of thing. So that's coming up next on the Brad Sussmat Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sussmat Show. Jordan Hamm here filling in for the big guy. Going to talk some recruiting stuff now. Been a busy couple of weeks with commitments, some big offers coming through, guys setting timelines. It's just kind of that time of year for the guys, I think, who have been heavily recruited coming in. They want to get things wrapped up before the season starts so they can just focus on the season, stay healthy, get off to college, and kind of go from there. So the big news, I think, is both a couple of South Point guys making their commitments, and that is Bijan Robinson to Texas, number 2 player in the state, top running back out west, one of the top players in the entire country, and I'll say it, the best running back in Arizona high school that I've seen. And this is dating back as a very young child. I saw Mike Brown at Saguaro, who played for the Bears for a while. I believe he was a safety, but a running back with the Sabercats. You know, if I don't think you can call Christian Kirk a running back, but he was certainly in the backfield, as was Jake Smith and various guys like that. Some pretty talented ones. Kyle Williams, who played in the NFL for a bit, played with the Sun Devils. I think that Bijan is right in that mix. Of course, Kadeem Carey as well, who is tearing it up in the CFL. I saw a couple weeks ago, which is awesome to see. But so Bijan commits to Texas. Bruno Fina, his offensive tackle, commits to UCLA. And it could not be two more different recruitments, because Bijan was picking up offers when he was a freshman. I was told he played one freshman game in his high school career, and after one, they were like, yeah, we got to get him up to varsity. But as a sophomore and junior, back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons, just every big program in the country had an offer for him. And he narrowed that list. Texas, Ohio State, I know that USC was still kind of in the mix a little bit, but he goes with the Longhorns. Lathan Ransom, the safety over there, another just phenomenal player, committed a couple weeks prior to that to Ohio State. So I think everyone was kind of thinking like, all right, these guys are a package deal. But they told me that they went out of their way to kind of have their own recruitments and take their own visits. So it wasn't going to be a groupthink type thing. They go to Ohio State, Lathan falls in love with it. Therefore, Bijan feels like he should be there too. And, you know, even if it may not have connected as well with him, and that forces him to go to Ohio State when he really wants to go to Texas. So they actually, it was a 2 week span where one of them was in Texas, one of them was at Ohio State, and then the next week they flipped so they could see it separately, take it in themselves, and if they were going to play together, awesome. If not, they were going to do what's best for them. And that's exactly what happened. Texas doing a phenomenal job recruiting the state. Tom Herman coming in, got Jake Smith, got Braden Leibrock last year, comes in, gets Bijan in the mix for Keely Ringo, the top player in the state. And I know that he really likes them. Georgia also in the mix, top five of also Oregon, Alabama, and one other program's in there that is fighting for Ohio State. So that's what's kind of going on with Keely. Not really sure when he's going to make his commitment. I think he wants to take more visits. He was just up at Georgia kind of checking out what they had. He's been over there multiple times. But Texas is in the mix to potentially go in, get the top two players. Like a couple of years ago when USC got Austin Jackson and Isaiah Polamau, they were able to do that. Texas trying to do the exact same thing here. With Bruno Fina, it was no D1 offers until about March, and that was Abilene Christian. No Power 5 offers until about April 6th, and then all of a sudden he got, I think he topped out at about 13 or 14 offers, and most of them were Power 5. Quite a few Ivy Leagues were in there. His final three was UCLA, Boston College, and Yale. And ultimately, it was UCLA because Justin Fry, their offensive line coach, was the first one to reach out to Bruno and be like, you can play at the next level. You can play at a Power 5 program. Be patient with us. We're working through some stuff. Come visit. And they quickly he visited, and then they quickly offered him. And so they were very early on Bruno. This is a guy with over a 4.0 GPA. He wants to go into management and minor in engineering. And as Chip Kelly kind of pitched him, he said, look, it's books and ball. That's what we're all about here, and that's exactly what Bruno's about. His best football is not behind him. It is definitely in front of him. He is still growing. He is still growing a lot. His dad is John Fina, former U of A Wildcat great, played for the Bills for about a decade. They did some measurements on Bruno, figured out he's going to be bigger than his father. He's not there yet, but he's going to be, and can easily put on about another 60 pounds worth of bulk to if he wants to go to the interior or if he wants to stay on the outside. And that's what they like also, his versatility. So you're going to hear from both of those guys coming up. I think Bijan will be first and then Bruno, but really good interviews. Like I said, Bijan came in studio. He happened to be in Phoenix. We were able to work it out where he came in studio, and then Bruno Skyped in from Tucson to talk about his commitment. Some other commitments, though. A lot of big programs are adding guys. Connor Butt and Spencer Roy out of Notre Dame Prep both commit to Army. So they have quite a good senior class coming through. Cade Bennett committed to Oklahoma State. Brock Lochnikar, the linebacker, is committed to Harvard. And then Connor Butt and Spencer Roy. Butt is a linebacker. Roy, a defensive end, could move to the interior, could play on the offensive side of the ball, has some versatility along the line. But that program got in early with them, and they pulled the trigger on that. Desert Ridge's Aiden Lee, who is a wide receiver, a big target for Jeremy Hathcock. He committed to Cal, and Cal just continues to tear it up with these Arizona guys. Six commits last year. Tommy Christakos already committed, the Chaparral wide receiver, who our former compadre, Jason Jewell, likened to Mark Andrews, and I think that's a dead-on comparison. A guy that could kind of grow into a pass-catching tight end or stay a wide receiver. Also can kick. Like, that's a skill set. So you add Aiden Lee, Matt Polk could be committing to Cal as well. So it seemed like last year the six that came through, it was predominantly guys on defense, up front, you know, Spencer Brash at the quarterback position, DeCarlos Brooks as a running back. No, like, skill position guys aside from Brooks, though. And they've already added two, potentially three. So it's just, like, build your own offense with Arizona guys, and that's going to be Cal. You know, this time of year you see a lot of guys posing questions of, like, how would you build your 7-on-7 team? How would you build your offense? Like, Cal's literally doing that with Arizona guys. So that's what's kind of what's going on up in Berkeley. And then his teammate, Jakari Price, defensive end, kind of edge rusher, committed to San Diego State. This is a guy who I think would have had a much bigger recruitment had he been 2 inches taller. He's about 6 foot, but he just got to the quarterback, and he had 12 sacks. Really good player. I watched him in one-on-ones at the ASU big man stuff. I know, take that with a grain of salt when guys are in basketball shorts, but he was so impressive to me, and watching his film, he's very impressive. And these are the type of players that San Diego State kind of targets, like the uber talented guys. But there might be something that the, you know, big time Power Five programs may not like about it. And I think with Price, it was the height, even though we've seen that proven wrong time and time again. So San Diego State's just like, yeah, we'll pull the trigger on you. Let's do it. That's exactly what they did with, I think, Jay Rudolph too, the tight end over at Horizon. So San Diego State doing another great job recruiting Arizona. And then those are all the commitments for the week. Brendan Rice, Hamilton wide receiver, him and Polk are probably the two best remaining wide receivers off the top of my head. He said he's setting a commitment date for next month, so presumably in September sometime. I know ASU's in the mix. Oregon, Michigan has made a big impact very quickly. They offered him kind of later among that group, but he really, really likes them. Like I said, every time he has social media, he's wearing a Michigan hat. Again, he may just like the hat. I'm not going to get into reading into what a high school student is wearing and how that could impact their decision. That's just not going to happen. I also know Texas A&M is in the mix for him as well. So plenty of good schools for Brendan, but he's looking to get things wrapped up here in the next month. I think Matt Polk, kind of same deal. He's looking to get things going and make a commitment, I would believe, before the season. And Jacoby Covington set an October 1st date. That may change. I talked to him. I was like, is that rock solid? And he said, if things change, things change. So that's kind of a loose timeline, I would think. I could see it happening before. And not sure exactly where he's going. I know Washington is definitely in the mix. He's visiting Texas A&M. He's visiting LSU. So that's kind of where the recruiting landscape is right now, especially for the 2020 class. Coming up next, we have interviews with Bijan Robinson, Bruno Fina. They were nice enough to take some time out and talk about their commitments. That's coming up next on the Brad Sussmat Show. Welcome on into a very special recruiting roundup. I am Jordan Hamm, joined by Bijan Robinson in studio, Sal Point Catholic running back, back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons, and Texas commit. Guys, he's already rocking the burnt orange. First off, congratulations, and thanks so much for coming in studio with us.
Yeah, and thank you for having me, you know, come on here, you know, talk about, you know, the commitment to Texas.
And so a lot of big-time programs We're looking at you, had offered you. You had a lot of options that you could have gone. Why was it Texas that ultimately was the decision for you?
Just, you know how they handle themselves as a program. You know, they've been to, you know, a lot of great programs. You know, the experience they have as coaches. But just, you know, it's genuine with them. It's family. You know, and I'm all for that because, you know, my family and how we're – our relationship with each other. But, you know, I just love how, you know – it was all truth with them. No storytelling. You know, it was all, you know, this is what we're going to do, you know, for you and, you know, help you, you know, throughout the process when it does come, you know, further in life. But just, you know, even the players, just how they, you know, gravitated towards me and how I gravitated towards them, it was definitely a big part of why I chose Texas.
When you look at what Coach Herman has been able to do in the backfield, two running backs with over 700 rushing yards last year, he also isn't afraid to get the QB in the mix either in the running game. In his discussions with you, what did he say about how you could fit into that backfield for the next couple of years?
What they've done with, you know, Ezekiel Elliott when they were at Ohio State, you know, Coach Drayton, the running back coach, and, you know, Coach Herman, just how they developed him as a player, off the field and on the field, his style of play that they developed when he was, you know, at Ohio State. You know, it was huge for me to look at, because just what they can do for me, you know, as that bell cow back that he was, you know, they can do the same things for me.
You mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. Ohio State was another one of the yep. finalists in there. Just how tough of a decision was it to choose between some of these top programs and eventually go with Texas?
Well, it was very tough. You know, like I said, I prayed on it a lot. You talked to the family, talked to others, you know, some other sources about, you know, how they are as a program, how they, you know, when you get there, what would they do for you? And it was a very tough, especially for USC. They were one of them. Just telling the coaches, you know, I have to go a different direction. It teaches you to grow up a little bit, for future life, you know, as a man. But it was very tough, but I just had to do what was the best for me.
You and Lathan Ransom, your high school teammate, two of the best to ever come out of the Tucson area, to ever come out of Arizona. What's going to be like not playing with him? Because you guys grew up together and played really, you know, since you were young kids.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll always support Lathan with everything he decides. You know, we've been with each other since we were young. And, you know, people don't realize, you know, we go through hard times, and we go through great times. You know, in practice, we're after each other, but we just love each other, you know, as teammates and just as brothers, because, like I say, he's been with me since we were seven years old, and we always competed, always loved each other, you know, families, we always got together and just, you know, talked about things and just big decisions like this. You know, it'll be hard to, you know, get away from Lathan, because, you know, we've always been with each other, but, you know, that's the best decision for him, and, you know, I've been praying that he makes the best decision for him. And, you know, that this was the best decision for me. But, you know, we'll always stay in touch. I mean, that's my brother. We'll keep in touch always. And, you know, it's, the love factor will always be there.
The Texas commits from Arizona, they've been few and far between before last year. But Jake Smith, Braden Leibrock, mm-hmm. both commit to Coach Herman and the Longhorns. What's it going to be like teaming up with those guys?
Well, I talk to them all the time. You know, they always tell me the good and the bad things. Now, there's not really any bad things that they tell me about it, but, you know, they're always positive about the program, and, you know, just see how they develop, you know, in this short period of time that they've been there. It was definitely a great factor for me, and, you know, those are great two great dudes, you know, to play with and to talk to a lot about, you know, getting advice for a college program like that.
When did you know it was the Longhorns?
I knew, well, after the visit, you know, us as a family and me, you know, I kind of knew, you know, this was a spot for me. Like I said, how they handled themselves, you know, towards me, it was all truth, and that's when I kind of knew, like, this is the place for me, and that would make me successful, not just in college football, but, you know, God willing, I go to the NFL, you know, they have the experience from up there as well.
And you met Matthew McConaughey on that visit. What was that experience like?
I didn't really know who that was until, you know, my coach was like,
I'm starting to feel my age, guys.
No, yeah, he said, you know, this is a famous actor that just came up to you right now. And I was like, this is crazy. And I kind of seen him somewhere in some interviews with, like, the Kimmels and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I never really knew who he was. But until he came up to me, you know, he was very supportive. He really wanted me to go to Texas. But he was just supportive on, you know, whatever decision I make, you know, to keep God first and just – to always be around, you know, the best people that can help you succeed. So it was really great talking to him.
When you look at Tucson, they have a rich history of running backs. Same goes for the whole state of Arizona. When you step away, you know, your first 2 years, you had back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. You're going to be in the conversation one of the best to ever do it. What legacy do you want to leave behind after your senior year with the South Point Lancers and with the state of Arizona, and you move on to Texas?
You know, Football is a big part of everything, but I just want people, you know, to know that, you know, I was a great person, you know, doing it. You know, never really cocky, just, you know, just wanted to play the game because, you know, that's what God really wanted for me to do. And, you know, I could say, you know, yes, I've done a lot of great things as a running back in Arizona compared to, you know, all the greats that came out of here. But just for people to look at me and say, like, this kid is a really just great person and, you know, just loves to play the game, just to have fun and just to be around teammates and make an impact in other people's life, just off the field, that's what I really want people to really know about me.
All right, Bijan Robinson making an impact on the field, in the community, your newest Texas commit. Bijan, once again, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome into the recruiting roundup. I'm Jordan Hamm. We have a commitment edition. Always love these episodes, guys. Work so hard getting to the next level, and that is definitely the case for this guy. We are bringing in South Point Catholic offensive lineman Bruno Fina. You had a recruitment that was fast and furious this spring, but Bruno, tell us where you're going to be playing your college football.
So for the next 5 years, I'm excited to announce that I'm going to be committing to the University of California, Los Angeles.
Congratulations, UCLA. Why did you pick the Bruins?
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind for me is just the family atmosphere that they have there. You know, they're interested in, like, the whole person. It's not just the football side of things or even just the academic side of things. It's stuff like, the other day when I committed, sitting at the dinner table, Coach Chip Kelly got on the phone and had a chat with my grandmother. You know, they're there for the whole kind of person. It's not just, you know, you're here to play football for us. You're here to, you know, make us into a better team. They go, they take the holistic thing and they, you know, they build you up into the best that you can be using, you know, everything that you got.
And I know you've developed quite the relationship with Coach Fry, the offensive line coach over there. Just yes, how did he stand out among the other coaches that were recruiting you in this process?
Well, he was really the first coach to reach out to me way back in January, and he told me, you know, he's the one who let me know that I really had a future playing football at the next level. You know, he's the one who really kicked it off for me. You know, he's always been completely honest with me. He's always been a mentor to me already. You know, he's corrected my form. He's seen film for my practice. He's helped me out already. So I'm really comfortable with him, and I think he's a great guy. And, you know, I can't wait to play for him for the next few years.
You told me about when you visited them. They were very excited when they did some measurements on you and what you could grow into. Can you kind of take us through what that process was like and what they discovered in those measurements?
Yeah, so I've always had the big frame, but lately I've just been working on filling it out and, you know, you're putting weight on. And then when they measured my wrists, my knees, my height, you know, they measured me that I could put on comfortably like around 300 pounds and still function pretty easily.
I know your dad was there, former NFL player, U of A Wildcat. You actually were slated to be bigger than him. Is that correct?
Right, yeah. So at this time, when he was going to be a senior in high school, he was around 190, 200 pounds. And right now I'm sitting at 245, so I'm already ahead of him a little bit.
I heard you on Justin Spears' radio show in Tucson, good friend of Sports 360 AZ, good buddy of mine. But when you released your top three of UCLA, Boston College, and Yale, your dad was with you. And like I said, right, former NFL player, you know, knows the football side of things, but it was very apparent he was just so psyched for you as a person and was so proud of the person that you have become. Just what's your relationship like with him as you have navigated this recruitment and will be wrapping up high school football this season?
Well, you know, it's really just indescribable how great it is to be able to come home every day and, you know, maybe I'm a little bit confused, I'm not sure what's going on, and I can talk to somebody who's been through it already. And, you know, to make it even better, he's my dad, and he I know he only wants the best for me. And you know, it's just someone who I can look up to every day, and I'm really thankful that I have him there standing by my side.
So when we go back 3 or 4 months, the offer sheet was pretty short, but then all of a sudden things clicked and a lot of offers came in. We likened it off air to drinking out of a fire hose, trying to get all that information that you could about these schools recruiting you. When things were slower, was there ever a point of frustration or wondering kind of what was going to be happening at the next level prior to those flood of offers for you?
No, I wouldn't say there was ever frustration. You know, there was maybe looking at it, you know, I continue working, but I think, okay, maybe I'll go Ivy League is the biggest football play. Maybe the biggest football play is D2, and then I can work there and then transfer somewhere bigger. But really, this is just what I love doing, you know, playing football, working out, you know, being around my boys and, you know, trying to be the best leader I can be. And, you know, in terms of the recruitment process, I love meeting all these coaches and developing these relationships with them. So it didn't feel like so much work, but it was something that I really liked doing. And then finally, when I went out to USC and I got that first really big time offer, it all just clicked in my head and everything just started to fall in place. And then it just became more and more motivation for me to keep on grinding.
Yeah, and then you really hit the ground running. Now, I know you're a very highly academic student, you're over a 4.0 GPA.
Yes, sir.
After football, whenever that may be, what do you want to do?
So I'm looking to study when I go to UCLA. I want to major in management and marketing, and then I want to minor in mechanical engineering. So maybe get in the door with a big tech company, that kind of thing, maybe go out to Wall Street. That's really my plan.
As you look ahead to senior year and beyond, where are you looking to get better on the football field?
So, you know, obviously I'm constantly trying to gain weight, get stronger, but really my biggest focus is being a better teammate, being a better leader, and being the best athlete to my coaches. You know, those guys work so hard, and I feel I owe it to them to just be the best I can be and ball out for one more year.
All right, Bruno Fina, South Point offensive lineman, now heading to UCLA here next year. Bruno, congratulations.
Thank you. Four's up, baby.